Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, really looking forward to continuing the conversation we started at the end of last week here. The great Tom Glavine, Hall of Famer, 305 career wins, two Cy Youngs, and one of the smart guys, passionate about the game still, follows it, obviously. And we had him on Friday. We didn't have a great reception. We didn't really get too deeply into the conversation, but Tom, good enough to call us back and try to continue. There's a couple things we wanted to run by him. Tom, welcome back. Tiki and Tierney, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I appreciate you guys' patience. So let's give this another shot.
Yeah, this better be good. You make us wait 5 days. I mean, you better come with some good sound bites here, Glavine. Get us some newsworthy stuff, okay?
Yeah, I mean, I'm nervous. Like, I had to wait 5 days for my next start, so I better
exactly.
Recover.
Yeah, you're right. You're lucky it's not a four-man rotation. We would have had you on yesterday. All right. I think the only thing that I said to you in the interview when we started was that I think Rob Manfred's been bad. I really do. And listen, I can go chapter and verse, but the short summation is I thought he butchered the Astros situation. Any commissioner calling the World Series trophy a piece of tin is bad. June 10th, he tells us unequivocally there will be baseball. June 14th, well, I don't think we'll have baseball. Now there's four teams that had to shut down camps because of the testing. I'm not saying that's on him, but he's still the commissioner. Tom, how do you defend at least the last couple of months, Rob Manfred? He's been bad.
I think it's one of those things that we're in uncharted territory, and I think to some extent, obviously, it's easy to look at things that have happened and say, well, maybe you should have done this, maybe you should have done that. And I think that is even more so in a situation like this where we've never dealt with anything like this before. So having said that, look, I think when we talked about this for a minute last week, my initial reaction was, I think both sides in this scenario have had some missteps. I think sometimes both sides are guilty of, A, getting out in front of news to try and create a positive vibe, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And I think both sides have been guilty of trying to state their case too much publicly. Now, I get that to some extent. Like I said, having been through the strike in 1994, the lockout in 1990, you know, other labor situations, there's always going to be some of that because you're trying to present your case to the public. And let's face it, you're trying to get people on your side. Again, in this case, where this was such a unique circumstance, and at the end of the day, people really don't care that you're squabbling over mm-hmm. billions of dollars. They just want baseball. So I think that was the mistake both sides really made in this case, was they made their squabbles too public in an environment where it really didn't need to be public.
Let me just follow up real quick on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I got you, Tom. And that's a fair, measured response. Jeter, you know, one of your contemporaries just, you know, lit him up the other day. And Jeter never says anything that's remotely.
He's on ownership.
No, I know.
So, you know.
I got you. Yeah. But Jeter, but Tom, you know, Jeter never.
But he let out both sides, though. I mean, he wasn't just on the owners. And
yeah, but
it was
that's,
on both sides, too.
In Jeter's world, that was like chin music. But the point is, do you believe, even though these circumstances have been tough, and I'm not saying that he's been dealt a couple of pocket aces if he's playing poker, I'm not saying he's been dealt good cards, but do you think that the player trust can ever really, really be strong, that bond believable between the players and the commissioner? Do you believe so?
I don't know that it ever has been, and I really don't know that it needs to be. I think at the end of, look, at the end of the day, nobody's been in more of an adversarial relationship with the commissioner than, say, I was and some of my contemporaries during the 1994 strike. Okay, Rob was the lead lawyer. And you talk about a guy being on an opposite side that you really had some serious problems with. That was the scenario. Now, having said that, I like Rob. You know, I respected Rob and how he went about his business at that point in time. I didn't agree with any of his positions, obviously representing the owners. But as a person, I liked him. And I think in this instance, he's the commissioner. Everybody needs to remember he represents the owners. You know, as much as we talk about the commissioner and the best interest of baseball, which there is some of that, at the end of the day, he's employed by the owners. So if I was a player today and knowing that I personally like Rob, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I trust everything that the commissioner or anybody else has to say in baseball. Let's face it, it's a business.
Yep.
Everybody's looking out for their own best interests. So you have to keep that in mind. Now, do you hope at the end of it all that both sides can sit down and have a civil conversation and get to a point where they can get something done? Of course you do. But I think you're being a little bit naive if people think that the trust level has to be just unbelievably good for there to be a working relationship between Rob and the players. You know, there's always going to be a level of distrust. You know, I said it early on, and it got a lot of attention, and I was doing a ton of radio shows where, you know, I said initially that the players were in a tough place with the PR battle when the owners were talking about a 50-50 revenue split. At the end of the day, that's what the strike in 94 was over.
Yeah.
So I could understand the players not wanting to go down that road, and I didn't blame them. I wouldn't have either. But at the end of the day, there's always that level of distrust as to what the owners are telling players, how truthful they're being, particularly when it comes to revenue in the game. And I don't know if that's ever going to change.
Okay, so that's the great Tom Glavine, who's in the Hall of Fame. 305 wins will get you there. A couple of Cy Youngs as well. The World Series champion, World Series MVP. And he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Now, the other side of this restart that we probably haven't paid enough attention to, given the debate that's going on over finances between the owners and the Players Association, is the health and the safety of the players and their families. And we've heard many, Mike Trout being one of the more prominent ones, saying he might not play because his wife is pregnant. He doesn't want to bring it home. He doesn't want to get sick. We got older skippers or coaches that may be vulnerable as well. Can you see from a player's perspective, Tom, you know, this not working out with the Stars, at least? There's some certain guys are going to have to play. They just want to play. They need to add bats, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But there's a handful of moneyed Stars that might say, this isn't worth it, man. Can you see that happening? What would it mean for the league in this season?
Well, I absolutely can see it happening. Again, I think it was another one of the things that I talked about initially when people were kind of being turned off by what was happening with baseball from an economic standpoint, 100% understood it. My caution to people was, okay, that's fine, but you can't be critical of players if they decide that they don't want to play, because they all have their own reasons for not playing. And I think for a lot of guys, look, there are a lot of guys in baseball who have pre-existing conditions. We know there are a handful of guys that have battled cancer, just to name one. So you can understand those guys. We don't fully know what the dynamic in every player's household is. You know, are they caring for elderly people? Do they have a spouse or a child that has a pre-existing condition? So, you know, absolutely the players have to have concerns. And if a guy decides to bow out because he's concerned about it, then he has every right to do that, and I think we have to respect that. I think at the same time, we hope that not enough of those guys do, so it starts to bring into question the integrity of the season, so to speak. But I think, again, I've been asked this question a lot. If I was playing today, would I play? I probably would. Mm-hmm. But I'm in a situation where I don't have a pre-existing condition. I don't have a situation at home that I'm necessarily worried about. Sure, I'd be worried about bringing it home. But I don't have a family member that fits into that, you know, high risk category. But I think we have to be respectful of every player's decision because we don't know what every player's situation is.
You know, David Price obviously only has to answer to David Price and do what's right for David Price and David Price's family. But I was thinking about this, Tom, like, you know, if you play, and granted, he's got $200 million in the bank. He's got a Cy Young. He's been on five All-Star teams. I mean, first overall pick out of Vandy back in the day. Guy's had a tremendous career. But at, like, as a, if I could only look at it like from my point of view, if I was a major league player right now, whether I had a great resume or a just beginning resume, and I was getting ready to start my first season with a new team, I would feel a little more pressure to play for that team. Like, at least if I was with the Yankees for 5 years, or if I'm Freddie Freeman, I've been with the Braves for almost a decade, whatever it is. Not that it needs justification. But that professional pressure, that peer pressure to show up to the new team, to me would be pretty strong. Does that make any sense?
No, I 100% agree with that. Again, I don't know David Price's underlying situation beyond he's just decided he doesn't want to play. But yeah, that's one of the guys that I looked at and I thought, okay, well, again, I'm not questioning his decision, but I looked at it and I thought, okay, well, this is going to be an interesting scenario come next year for all the reasons you just said. Here's a guy who just got traded. He's new to a team. And, you know, anytime you get traded or you move teams or whatever, you obviously want to get off to a good start and lend a good impression in the whole nine yards. And I wonder how this affects that next year. Now, I don't know. Now, having said that, would that be the reason why I would decide to play if I thought it wasn't a good idea? Probably not either. But I do think that's one of those ones that jumped out at me that I thought, okay, this one's going to be interesting to follow going forward for the reasons that, you know, we just talked about.
Okay.
You know, Tommy, you know, the other thing we've heard in basketball with their bubble and the championship, how it's going to be played out in this isolated environment, some people are saying, look, we're actually going to think more of this one, right? It was much harder than a regular championship. And, you know, that's probably saying too much. But from a baseball perspective, we know why a long season, 162 games, is so it's difficult, man. There's injuries, there's slumps, there's what happens at the trade deadline. It's like all of these factors that go into making the champion. And the Nationals get brought up a lot because they were, you know, significantly under 500 after 50 or 60 games last year. So when you look forward, or at least when we look back on this season after the World Series champion is crowned, what's going to be the emotion? Is it going to be, man, those guys really had to work for it, or you played 60 games, man? What's the feel of this season going to be?
No, I don't think that anybody who is on a championship team at the end of this year is going to tell you they feel like it's illegitimate.
Yeah, not them, you know, not might, the champion, not right. The champion, Tom. I'm talking about everybody else.
Exactly. You might have other guys, but so what? Who cares? Yeah. You know, I mean, to me, you can argue about what a 60-game schedule says. But at the end of the day, if everybody's playing by the same rules, then whoever's left standing at the end has earned it. Now, there's going to be some interesting scenarios, right? I mean, one of the conversations that I've had with some other radio shows is, you know, how does this change MVP stuff? How does it change Cy Young Award stuff? And I think all those things are definitely going to be impacted by a shorter season. You're going to have some guys maybe that emerge as an MVP that in 162-game schedule, they wouldn't. You're probably going to see more closers in the mix for the Cy Young Award because starting pitchers aren't going to get that many wins. So I think you're going to see some of those dynamics. But at the end of the day, look, I look at the Braves situation, right? I look at the National League East. The way this schedule is set up where you're playing 40 games in your own division and then 20 in your sister division in the American League, I think virtually every division, whoever comes out on top and comes out standing, has earned it. Now, that's not to say you're not going to have a team or two that is a surprise, but we have that every year anyway.
Yeah.
You know, every year it seems like there's one or two teams that nobody picked at the beginning of the season to be in the playoffs, and it happens. But I think under the scenario now where, like I said, I don't know the other divisions as well, obviously, as I know the National League East and the American League East. But if you're standing after 60 games in the National League East after you played 40 in that division and 20 in the American League East, you've earned it. And I don't think there's anything anybody can say to take that away from you.
Agreed. We got 10 seconds. Quick trivia question. We had your boy Smoltz on the show the other day. How many times combined do you think that you, Greg, and John struck out the great Tony Gwynn combined?
I don't know how many combined, but compared to those two, I own Tony, and I think he hit 320 off of me. So,
okay,
like
now it's three total strikeouts. You have two of them.
Wow, nice.
Oh, I see. I owned him.
Yeah, exactly. Greg never punched him up, and Smoltz got him once, so it's three.
Tells you how good Tony was, didn't it?
Oh, he was phenomenal. Tom, I'm happy we made this happen. Thank you very much, buddy.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys' patience. Have a great day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.